This is Allison Goodall interviewing Mike Goodall at his home at 3 p.m. on March 25th, 2018, about his experiences during and after Hurricane Harvey and how his community was affected. Please state your name.
Hi, I'm Mike Goodall. I'm doing this interview.
Did you do anything to prepare for the hurricane, and how did you find out about the hurricane?
Okay, so when we first got the information about it, we really weren't prepared or anything. It was like, oh, this is going to be kind of like a tropical storm, because we were getting really mixed reviews from different news outlets, and all of them really weren't sure on the consensus on what this actually was. Fox was giving us like, oh, this is a tropical storm, it'll just be a little bit of rain, and CNN was like, prepare for the worst, this is another storm coming in. So you really had mixed opinions on what it actually was, and no one was giving you a precise answer. And then when we actually tried to go out, because like, oh, we're actually going to need some supplies, we found nothing. It was the usual just before a storm madness. Costco, don't even consider it. We could barely get in the parking lot, let alone actually wait for a ticket to get water. So being defeated like that, well, this was just me and my mom going out to do all this. My dad was at work and my sisters were at school. So on our way back from Costco, trying to go home, trying to find some place with water, we stopped at a Kroger to actually find something. And we weren't finding like the big packets of water. We had to find individuals of Smart Water. Like, you couldn't even get, like, the gallon-sized stuff. You had to get, like, the individual bottle. And after that, we really weren't expecting how much it actually flooded. So we couldn't prepare for this massive flooding.
Were you nervous when you found out that it was going to be a hurricane and, like, the level of storm it would be?
I really wasn't concerned too much because of the area we're in. And because I know our neighborhood really doesn't flood that much, but I was surprised how much water we actually did receive. It actually got much farther than we have. We have a very elevated house up on some high land, and it got pretty close. It got into our courtyard, which really surprised me. Because that's about 5 feet from the road.
Mm-hmm.
And about... yeah, that's a full 5 feet elevation from the main road. And we're usually used to seeing like the street become a river when it gets really intense like that, but the lakes were just merging with the roads, and it was sort of like, okay, who's on which island is driest?
Yeah. Was this your first experience with a natural disaster and or a hurricane?
No, not even close.
What was your first experience?
I think Ike was our first experience with a hurricane.
That was your first experience, were you nervous the first time you experienced a hurricane?
Yeah, we were much more nervous about it because we were from California. We'd never experienced anything like that before. And and we were little kids then. We were like in middle school. You know how kids are during these kind of storms. You're like, oh, this is super cool and exciting. But then there's all this like storm damage afterwards and people are displaced. And there's really not much you can get afterwards for like a week. Until things start to resume or pick back up.
Did you have any home damage the first experience, like with Ike?
We didn't have any damage the first time around with Ike. And again, location and... we secured everything ahead of time, so there wouldn't be any too damage immediately to our own property.
Okay. Did you prepare and secure things at your home, like, for Hurricane Harvey, like you did with Ike?
Yeah. We have different stuff, so we had to rearrange it we had to rearrange everything differently from the previous time. But yeah. But however, because of the mixed ratings and because it was constantly being upgraded and downgraded across different networks, we didn't tape the windows like we would for like we did for Ike. We kind of just left everything as is.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any home damage during Hurricane Harvey?
Yeah, we had a little bit of home damage. There was a leaking spot in the roof that kind of dripped down and saturated the roof a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It created like sort of like this swelled welt on the wall. I don't know. It's like, it was like kind of like the wall got inflated a bit.
Yeah.
And then it was sort of like just slowly dripping out.
Did you have to worry about dumping out buckets of water? Were you scared that like it would overflow to the floor? How bad it was because of how bad it was raining?
A little bit, but my mom and my dad were kind of on the ball with that. So I was more worried about, like, am I going to have to, like, put up a barricade to keep the water from coming in?
Yeah. Did you have any, pets to worry about? Like, were you scared you were going to have to evacuate and bring, like, pets with you?
At the point we were at, evacuation would be pretty difficult because you literally could not get into the subdivision and you couldn't get out of it without a boat.
Mm.
But if the emergency did come to happen to it, we did prepare, sort of like a snake line for the exhaust on a car. So it could technically make it through if we taped up the door lines.
Yeah.
But we just have, like, one dog and one cat, so it wouldn't be too much of a hassle. It was just getting them to go where we needed them to go.
Yeah, and then the difficulty of having to physically leave.
And getting all our stuff out of here and picking what to save and what to get rid of. Because knowing mm-hmm. Mom, she's going to want to take family photos, mobilias, all that stuff. Or she's going to have us move everything to the upper floor, clear out the bottom floors, and then leave.
If there is enough time.
No, she'd have us make the time.
Yeah, okay. You said the backup plan was putting a line for the car exhaust. That was like your backup plan if you had to evacuate. But did you have a backup plan in your mind when you first heard about the hurricane? Like, did you know did you consider evacuating first?
No.
No?
That would be ridiculous at our standing and our position.
And because of where you live, it wasn't a common thing you've experienced with previous flooding and hurricanes?
Yeah, and if we did evacuate, we wouldn't even be able to get back into the city for like a month or so. That's because of all the damage and traffic and people just not being functional for a while.
Yeah, the hurricane kind of stopped time in a way.
Because like for a couple weeks, nothing was open and no one was operating on anything.
Yeah.
Like not even Taco Bell or McDonald's were open.
Yeah.
Because they had flood damage too.
And like grocery stores didn't open for a while and it was hard to get stuff too.
And even what they did have, it wasn't much.
Yeah. And it was kind of like a race to get there and find something.
Something you would never really buy on your own, but it's what they had.
Yeah. Since you didn't have to evacuate, did you know anybody who did?
No.
No?
It was registered as a tropical storm. There was no mandatory call for evacuation. And typically, if it's not mandatory, nobody goes.
Yeah. Because a lot of people in Houston evacuated, but in Cyprus, they experienced flooding, but they didn't have to evacuate.
No. It's not like the water will overflow our roof by 10 feet or so.
It's a couple of feet of rain, and maybe if you don't have as good of elevation, you may flood.
May barely.
barely an inch. Not as bad as Houston flooded.
Not as bad as Maine and Houston flooded. Houston is kind of set up like a bowl. Yeah. It'll fill up, and then it'll drain out.
Poor city planning, stuff like that.
Oh, Houston has a horrible, horrible planned city out. You know, I heard once they actually planned to have massive, like, truck-sized pipes under the freeways so that everything would drain out to the ocean immediately and much faster than it did for Harvey.
I did not hear that. That's very interesting.
I know, and they could have saved a lot of money and a lot of people's lives.
Yeah.
Not just not their physical, like, their life, but, like, the life they built around themselves. They could have easily saved that, but it's a cost thing.
Some physical lives as well. Some people died during the floods.
But insurance-wise, I guess it's more profitable for this to happen.
Yeah, I guess. That's, like, the dark side of it.
Money.
The kind of corrupt part of that, yeah.
That and horrible, horrible city planning.
Yeah. Do you know anybody else who experienced home damage?
My friend Zach did. I mean, a couple weeks ago, he finally moved back into his house because they finally were able to fix everything.
Oh, wow.
I know, this late.
A lot of people are, like, just now getting back into their homes. It's kind of crazy that it's, like, taken so long since, like, the hurricane happened in late August, early September.
It's like a whole Christmas, too.
Yeah.
Like, experiencing all this, like, over that time period, too. It's not like, oh, it all got damaged during, like, the beginning of the year. And, like, by mid-July, everything was taken care of. It was like, okay, this happened over the wintertime. If you're displaced during that time and you're in Texas, you're going to either be, for some reason, thrown between this hot humidity or this dry cold. Yeah. And it's going to wreak havoc on you and your family.
Mm-hmm. So, as it was raining and starting to flood, did you watch, like, the news to see what was happening and, like, see what was happening to the city of Houston and areas around it?
Yeah, because you want to keep updated on that thing. I mean, Snapchat kind of did a better job than the actual news because they threw together all the images and were able to set up a map of how intense the flooding was in these areas based off people just taking photos of this. Videos and all that, and their actual position.
Yeah, and it wasn't like the news forcing someone.
Or barely being able to get a hold of anybody, or even to the location, but.
Or changing, like, someone's story to make it appeal to viewers and make it.
It wasn't this strain through the funnel of how can I get ratings, or look at this sad sap story of this person whose house got flooded. Yeah. A lot of people's house got flooded, and guess what? You're the news crew. Nobody wants to talk to you. Nobody wants to be on your stupid show. Nobody wants to be a media pariah.
Yeah, and they're busy dealing with all their own problems they're facing.
They gotta deal with their own stuff, and this is Texas. None of these people really like to be somebody's, like, handout.
Sappy story kind of thing.
They don't want to be this martyr for their enterprise.
And ratings, yeah. So, and with Snapchat, you think, like, people chose to tell people what was going on in their view. They weren't being forced or pushed.
No, because it's a social media thing. People were voluntarily putting photos out there of just what's going on.
Yeah.
And even then, if it's just them, like, Snapchatting the rain or, like, how far the flooding has got into their home, you can still make a clear allocation of, okay, this area is getting something pretty bad, this area is dry, this area has a lot of people displaced, this area does not. So you're able to get a clearer feed of it, and not just like, oh, who honestly takes one of those news polls online?
Yeah.
Like, who goes out of their way to waste, like, almost an hour of that? And at the same time, you're getting ads thrown at you during those surveys. Who sits for that? Unless you're, like, forced to do that for, like, a school thing or, like, some kind of, like, oh, there's literally nothing to do, I guess I'll do it. Mm-hmm. Or you're incentivized in some way, you're not going to do that.
Yeah. So do you think, besides, like, the interviews of people, do you think, like, the footage they showed of volunteers made, was an accurate representation of the flooding and actions people took during the hurricane?
That'd be difficult to say. Okay. They do kind of, like, pump it up a bit. Though I know a lot of people did volunteer.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure whether these people actually volunteered for the right reasons or not. Whether it was to make themselves feel better or look better publicly. Mm-hmm. Because they're being displayed on the news, and these volunteers all seem to kind of want to be in front of the camera.
Yeah.
So it's that whole morality of thing, oh, these people need help, but why are you really helping them?
Yeah.
Because it's the right thing to do? Because it's these people you know and you want to help them? Mm-hmm. Or it's because you'll look or feel better after doing it?
Yeah. Did you or anybody you know volunteer?
Yes, we volunteered too. We brought my mom and my sister went sort of like on this like machine train before I woke up and made like 50 PB&J sandwiches or like maybe 100. I don't know. There was like 5 bags like full of these little like sack lunches. Like 5 big bags full of like little sack lunches. And we just sort of like brought them to a church and they gave us like, okay, here's some locations. We'll take half of this for here and you can go distribute these in these locations. And we went around handing out these lunches and everything. People who were just scraping out their homes, helping other people, clearing some kind of debris or what have you. And they're just sort of like cleaning stuff up after this disaster.
Do you think it doing that, like, was a positive influence on the community? Like, it made someone's day or it made them feel better about, like, knowing people in their community cared about what happened to them?
No. I feel like, because 90% of the people just turned us away because they didn't want the handout.
Yeah. Do you think it was, like, a pride thing after being, like, exposed in the media, on media so much and on the news, they just didn't want to have another handout?
Yeah, and on top of that, we were just in a van offering free lunches. I mean, they really could have, like, organized the whole, like, distribution system, like, better. Maybe, like, sent out a mass email or text or something.
Yeah.
To what people actually had available.
Uh-huh.
Or even just had, like, something to put on the vehicle that said, this is with this organization. They're handing stuff out, but yeah. No, it was just like a black Suburban offering people lunches. No, I don't, it was so poorly planned.
So it seemed a little sketchy, you think,
yeah.
To outsiders. But, yeah,
the whole thing seemed kind of sketch.
But like on the inside, you're like, oh, we're doing something good.
We're trying to do something good. We're trying.
Good intentions, but it wasn't executed the best.
No, not at all.
But some people did take it.
Some people did. Some people did, and they were happy to take it. But they mostly took the Gatorades that we were offering.
Yeah.
Not the sandwiches.
They took the sealed products.
Sealed products only. And the bag of chips. So, yeah, sealed products only.
What do you think made your family want to volunteer and help out?
I'm not sure.
Do you think seeing people on the news helping out and seeing how people were affected and, like, what they didn't have made them feel like any way they could help was better than nothing?
I guess so, yeah. That seems to make sense.
Yeah? Afterwards, did you feel, like, frustrated or anything? Like, did you have school and, like, was it canceled and have to make up a bunch of stuff?
No, because of its timing, we just missed when school started. So it was, like, a week after school was supposed to start, then we got in. So we missed, like, a week of school. So the schedule was just really accelerated.
Yeah.
So if you're like in this hard math or science course and you're supposed to get this full time and it's like 3 days a week for an hour, you're sort of just like thrown ahead of it. So it's now like, okay, you need to cram like three classes into that small frame and you're not meeting at extra times. So it's, you kind of just lost a week.
Yeah. And they're pushing you to catch up.
And on top of that, you've got your whole cleanup mess you got to do as well. So it's not like you're going to be totally committed to this thing. You and whatever other obligations you have, now you've got this storm cleanup damage on top of that. And any other stuff you got to deal with. The insurance company.
Yeah.
Replacing things. Trying to get food. After everything happened. It was just a big mess.
Do you think it affected people and their performance in school?
Kind of, yeah. Because you got to deal with all this other stuff. And then some teachers will kind of expect you to have nothing else in your life but this one thing.
Yeah.
And at that point, I feel like the teachers just like, they take their own egos too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Because life happens. And if there's like, and if life has like a freaking hurricane coming at you, and your home was literally 5 feet underwater, like the roof was 5 feet underwater, the very top of the roof was 5 feet underwater, you've got a lot to deal with. And if they still don't acknowledge that, something needs to happen.
Yeah. Do you think some teachers were more considerate than others?
Definitely. I had one teacher that completely ignored the fact that it happened and insisted that the schedule was fine and that we didn't need that week. And another teacher was blaming it because, okay, I know we've all got this place for this. We're going to make this work.
Yeah. Do you think people did better when the teacher is more considerate towards their situation?
Look, a good teacher is going to make her students have, a good teacher will have students with good grades. That's simply it. Either it's a good experience or it's not.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good when, it's good when a teacher is considerate of the students, especially acknowledging and understanding that life happens, life goes on. This isn't the only thing in the world.
Yeah.
And even then, some teachers don't even acknowledge that, okay, there's like another four classes you're taking next to this one.
Mm-hmm.
Calm down.
Yeah.
Calm down. Mm-hmm. It'll get done. There's still a lot to do. And even then, sometimes they don't even take into account your job.
Yeah. Do you think a lot of people had to deal with, like, emotional stress during and after the hurricane?
Oh my gosh, yeah, your home is destroyed. Yeah, you're going to be under all kinds of stress. And even then, sometimes there's the insurance agencies that aren't going to pay out for this stuff. And you're dealing with people coming in from the, is it FEMA that's disaster relief?
FEMA, yeah.
And they're coming out, because those guys came out to our house, and they had to look over everything, too, to see if we could get anything from that.
Yeah. And then, like, with school starting, that just piled on.
It just keeps piling on, because if you've got a job, if you have school, mm-hmm. you've also got this other stuff going on, it just sort of just piles up really quickly.
Yeah.
Especially with natural disaster, because you're like, okay, gotta get new chairs, gotta get new sofa, I gotta get new stuff, I gotta get new everything that was on the ground floor.
Yeah.
And that's your tiles, your drywall, all of it.
And that's if you didn't get flooded that badly, because some people had it to the second floor.
Your house is completely covered, you gotta tear your house down.
Yeah, build essentially, a new one. Yeah.
Because if it's that waterlogged and damaged, it won't be able to stand on its own for very long.
Yeah.
Especially with new house construction styles in that lower leveled areas. They're not up to the current codes, which is why the flooding was so bad in those areas. Not to mention some subdivisions in this, in our particular area, are designed to flood into other subdivisions. Like yeah. Fairfield, how that's designed to flood into Bridgeland.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's how it was designed. Fairfield is raised much higher than the other subdivisions.
How interesting. I did not know that. Hmm. another poor city planning. Other people get...
Well, that's just the developer being smart.
But then other people getting kind of screwed over.
Yeah.
But it is smart to elevate houses in Houston.
Build everything above the current code and standards, especially knowing your areas.
Yeah.
Because this area was all designed to flood.
Yeah.
Because it was rice before we were here.
Yeah. Same with Houston. Just or flat just lands. Cattle. Flat lands.
Oh, God. Flatland. Worst animated movie ever.
I haven't seen it.
It's like class struggle in the second dimension. So it's like how many sides of the shape you are.
Yeah.
So circles on the top and like triangles are on the bottom.
Huh. Interesting.
It's horrible. Horrible, horrible theory thesis.
Yeah. Did you hear about anybody making a lot of donations? Like, did you hear, like, certain famous people were donating money to help with Hurricane Harvey relief?
No.
Like, celebrities like Matthew McConaughey?
No.
They, like, donated money. Do you think that it's a publicity kind of thing?
No. No. Fake news. Fake news.
I like your Donald Trump impression.
Thanks. It's probably publicity stunt. It's always good to donate to a natural disaster, especially for celebrities.
Yeah. Because some people do it for public image.
There was no flood in Houston. It was fake news. America is great.
Bravo. Bravo. Do you think that the, how do you feel about 2017? Very interesting year. Within a couple of months, there was a hurricane, there was a solar eclipse, and there was the flood. How do you, is that like crazy to think about that all of these things happened within, like, a certain period of time?
Can I say shit? Yeah. Shit happens.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just... Yeah, shit just happens. I mean, I don't try to act... I'm not trying to act, like, under surprised by this stuff. It's just, okay, it happened. What are we gonna do about it now?
Mm-hmm.
It can't be this thing where we're like, oh, this unthinkable thing happened. It's such a tragedy. Okay, well, if it's so unthinkable, why are you in the position that you're supposed to be prepared for this event if it's so unthinkable?
Yeah.
It's a horrible tragedy. Okay, that's not your job. Your job is to be prepared and to be established and ready for when these kind of disasters happen, not give me this, like, pariah speech about how this is such a disaster.
Yeah.
How is an unthinkable tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
If it's so unthinkable, then you need to get a different job because you're not considering the possibilities.
Yeah.
And it's just really one of the... All these events, it's sort of just like, okay, be prepared for this.
Mm-hmm.
Just have some good forethought and common sense.
Okay.
So I'm not really surprised by this stuff happening. It's just one of those things you have to be reactionary to.
Mm-hmm.
And a little pre-planned.
Did you see any good happen to the community? Like, people getting help they needed with their home damage and stuff? Or, like, churches helping? Or just people, like, helping donate stuff? Mm. Like, any positives that happened afterwards? Like, community building?
Anything that nobody took from donations was donated to the Houston Food Bank. So I guess that was something good.
Yeah.
They got restocked pretty quickly.
That's good. They had lines of people on the news trying to volunteer. They're even turning people away, telling them to come back the next day. Do you think that's pretty amazing that or interesting that so many people went to volunteer at the food bank and at NRG?
Not really. I mean, like we've been discussing, the media kind of blows stuff out of proportion.
Yeah, but do you think it was a nice thing that people did? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, good
considering
intentions.
That it was a tropical storm that got out of hand.
Yeah.
And then they kind of blew that out of hand, way out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
So tons of people showed up to volunteer.
Did you know that, like, pharmacists went and volunteered to help people with medicines and stuff like that?
I did not.
Very interesting, because during research, I found that out. Because it's crazy to think, like, so many people show up to volunteer, but when the situation calls for it, you need certain things. And not everybody thinks of a pharmacist as a necessity when you're volunteering for an event like this.
Cool story, man.
Thank you. Is there any other story you would like to talk about? Any other, like, personal grievance towards people that, like, didn't, like, FEMA? Some people said they had problems with that. Do you have any, like, personal things that you would recommend to them to improve on?
Well, when the FEMA guy went to our house, it was kind of a weird conversation having with him because we discovered he was also from California. And he had been brought out here to help do that because, well, they just needed everybody because everybody was making claims to them.
Yeah.
It's a massive city with, like, hundreds of thousands of people living here. I don't know how many people are living in the city of Houston, like a couple million?
Yeah, somewhere around there. And then the outside areas affected.
Even more people. All those people are making claims to FEMA, so they had to bring even more people in from other states to handle this issue.
Yeah. Do you think that since he was from California, he might not have the best idea or, like, way to handle hurricanes because he's never experienced one himself?
Well, through all the conversations and everything, he had been actually doing this for a long time. And he's seen a couple of disasters like this before, and other disasters from all over, actually. He was actually pretty well-traveled, considering.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that made it better dealing with him? Like, he understood your situation more? Like, he had better...
Well, considering all of us were from California, and my mom was doing her thing, where she's kind of like, hey, yeah, I'm super friendly blonde lady. Look at me go.
Yeah.
It kind of made it much quicker, and he was like, yeah, I see the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can call that storm-related damage.
And did you get FEMA aid?
No, Dad didn't have flood insurance. And that was the other weird thing that I noticed FEMA was doing, which seemed a little shitty. They were giving out loans to people.
Yeah.
Which I didn't really understand why they were doing that. I was always under the impression that FEMA just assisted people after these disasters. Like, they were a charity organization.
Yeah.
That got government funding to go out and make sure the nation was together.
Yeah, instead of, like, take this money from us, you have to pay back later at interest rate.
Well, like 10% or higher, which was insane to me.
Especially when you go through a hurricane and you're not working.
Exactly, and your office could be shut down too.
And the postal service isn't going because the roads are flooded, so you might not get a paycheck through mail.
Exactly. We don't have drones yet. You can't just, like, super quick that stuff.
Yeah. Do you have any other stories you'd like to talk about? Or any other experiences people you know went through?
Josh had to strip out his house again.
Again?
He's in a lower area, so it wasn't the first time his house got flooded after a major storm. So, his house had like 2 or 3 feet of water in it. So they had to strip all that out. The tile on the floor, the wood panels on the walls, all of that had to come out. So the whole first floor of his house had to basically get stripped out. and then sanitize and then put back together.
Wow. Do you think that was hard for him to and his family to go through, considering like everything going on, and then on top of that, they had to deal with like reconstructing the first floor of their house?
Yeah. I don't know if I say so.
Do you think that the city of Houston could have prepared people better for the hurricane? They could have done a better job informing people of what was going on, better than, like, the news.
Yeah, but you gotta remember, at this current time, there was a bizarre shift in political dynamics and preferential news media outlets.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. We're really on, like, polarizing sides, and there's a polarizing side. However, this got caught with a natural disaster, which is mm-hmm. non-discriminate. It's going to destroy everything.
Yeah.
And because of this, they were giving really sort of like these dramatic, like, it's not going to have any effect on you, it's going to be a disaster. And it was really what people were listening to.
Yeah.
So some people were prepared for this, and some people were completely unprepared for this.
So do you think if, like, the city of Houston just decided that they would release a statement and leave the political bias alone and they would just be for the people, people would have been better informed and would have been ready to leave more ahead of time or, like, prep their houses better?
Well, if there was no political bias ahead of time, we'd have a much better infrastructure and this really wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
But then again, we can't live in a perfect world. That's I can't true. Have a fantastic bubble butt and great, fantastic hair. And yeah. I also can't live in a house where I have a chair that's equally worth like $7,000 and I barely use. We can't live in the nice, fantastic, perfect world.
Yeah, we live in a world with hurricanes and imperfections.
We live in a world with hurricanes, tornadoes, random fires, lightning that can strike people out of a plane.
Earthquakes, the whole shebang.
And giant spiders.
Oh, God.
Ooh. Giant freaking spiders. Now, the other thing that was really bad about these hurricanes is immediately after is the humidity and the mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Just swarms of them.
And nature trying to...
Animals just everywhere, and then when it dries up and everything, fish are just displaced overnight as it drains. So there's all these dead animal. There's like dead animal corpses all over the place. They either drowned in the water or drowned by air.
Yeah. Do you think that affected the area with all that change?
Well, it's kind of bad. We can't just like. Brush this stuff off the side.
Yeah.
Considering we're in Texas and you're not allowed to touch the roadkill or any dead animal.
Mm-hmm. So, do you think after going through Hurricane Harvey, if there is another flood or hurricane, you'd be better prepared? Like, now that you have more experience, and other people would be more experienced and know what to do?
No.
No?
You're only prepared as the information you have about the situation.
Yeah. So it kind of goes back to the news sources.
It goes back to, okay, what information do we have about this event coming up?
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be horrible? Is it going to be nothing? And yeah. You really gotta be, it really has to be on the ball about, okay, what is this thing going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And from there you can plan and react accordingly. Because no one was really reacting to it until it was too late.
Yeah.
So there was this whole, because it was all this debacle over, okay, what's this and this? And some people I knew were just like getting super prepared for this.
Yeah.
Like, one friend wanted me to go over to his place hang out for a while because, oh, storm's dying down. You want to hang out? And I'm like, okay, sure. Oops, I can't. The freeway to his place is underwater.
Yeah.
But he was in Katy and he was in a dry location. I couldn't get out of the subdivision.
Yeah.
Let alone get on the freeway that was closed and partially submerged.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that kind of put a strain on everybody not being able to go anywhere? Just being, like, trapped in their house?
I mean, my older sister's kind of a difficult person to be around once she gets cabin fever.
Mm-hmm. So, would that be, like, a yes? It kind of puts a strain on people being,
it can,
like,
put a strain on crazy people. Yeah, it can definitely get difficult.
Yeah. Do you think, like, that some people prepared and it was, like, a little excessive, maybe to some point unnecessary?
Not really.
Yeah.
No one's really going to prepare for a tropical storm.
But when they found out it was a hurricane,
people just reacted too late at that point. And that's where you get that mad scramble for supplies. And you're getting caught in this like rat race to get whatever you can before it's too late.
Do you think that it's unfair that certain grocery stores and stores increase their prices during a hurricane?
Yes, that's robbery.
Especially when it's labeled one price and then they change it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially during a really stressful time.
It's just straight up robbery.
Yeah. Do you think a lot of people are having trouble adjusting or had trouble adjusting to life after the storm, with or without damage to their homes?
With damage, a little bit. Without, not really. Mm-hmm. It was just sort of, without damage, it was sort of just like a short time.
Yeah.
And then with damage, it was, people are just getting back into their homes, so yeah, it was, I would consider it definitely an adjustment for some people.
Yeah. A different experience.
Definitely. I mean, how frequently in your life does your house get basically destroyed by septic water of Houston?
Yeah. Are there any other thoughts or feelings about the hurricane and situations you went through?
Kind of got freaked out when the water was getting super close, because it was overnight that we really kind of picked up pace. And I wasn't really sure, because I was looking up things to build, like, a micro raft just in case. That, and I kind of wanted to take it out to see, like, the whole lake situation.
Yeah.
Because my dad always wanted to buy a drone, because I still think he should get a drone. Because whenever this stuff happens, it's always a big disaster, and you can barely get out of your own front yard without getting, like, soaked or in, like, this whole mess.
Yeah.
So, to see a drone, to look over and see, like, oh, hey, all these lakes are connected. Hey, we actually can get out this road.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Do you think a drone would have been helpful?
Oh my gosh, it would have been so helpful. We would have been able to see the lakes behind our house, the lakes in front of our house. We'd be able to check on, like, other people we know in the neighborhood, see what's going on with their houses. It would have automated the whole community connection process on that.
Yeah.
And even then, we probably could have uploaded the videos to Facebook and put it in the Facebook groups, so the people who had
limited access could see their area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other comments or concerns, feelings, stresses about that experience? Pretty much summed it up.
I believe so, yeah.
Didn't have any emotional stress or external stress? Other people stressing you out when you weren't that concerned?
Not really.
Yeah, you kind of handled it and managed it on your own.
I kind of like to keep a chill face in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Even if I'm panicking on the inside. Because if my panic out to other people is not like a nice panic out to other people, it's like I rationalized everything, so it seems worse to me than it actually is.
Yeah. My final question to wrap up this interview is, do you think a lot of communities are bouncing back quickly and or doing a good job at recovering?
I think some had. It just depends on the level of damage and how quickly they were able to bounce back after that.
And how quickly the floodwaters went away.
And how extensive the actual damage was in their home. That really will affect the bounce back rate for them.
Okay. Thank you.